RV Family Travel Atlas is brought to you by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation. The industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And by Cabela's. Cabela's has everything you need to get your family into the great outdoors. Visit Cabela's.com and make sure your next camping trip is one for the record books.
And by Camp Casual. Family-owned and operated since 2014, Camp Casual is committed to bringing retro-inspired dishware and vintage home goods to the camping and RVing community. Visit CampCasual.com to see what fun products you can add to liven up your campsite, your RV, and your home.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes, and also Sweet Maggie the camping dog.
You can read about our adventures at RVFTA.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about the fabulous and somewhat mysterious world of boondocking. You have probably seen those Instagram pictures of RVs set up in the middle of nowhere without another camper in sight. And you might have wondered, how does this whole boondocking thing work?
So we invited Mark and Julie Bennett from RV Love onto the show to walk us through the basics. Mark and Julie regularly boondock without all the fancy solar technology you hear so much about. They will give us affordable, easy tips for finding our own boondocking bliss.
You might think boondocking sites are hard to find and even harder to get to, but Mark and Julie are here to demystify the mystery. You are listening to episode number 208, Boondocking for Beginners with Mark and Julie Bennett from RV Love.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, boondocking for beginners with Mark and Julie Bennett from RV Love, it's time for another What's Cooking with RVFTA segment, and this one is sponsored by our friends at Cabela's because they always know what's cooking at the campground.
They got plenty of stuff to get you cooking at the campground, too. Cabela's has everything your family needs to get into the great outdoors and camp and cook in comfort. Now, we are going to be at Cabela's. We're going to be at the one in Delaware on December 16th for their holiday festivities. Santa's one Wonderland is open now at all Bass Pro and Cabela's stores from right now when you're hearing this through to December 24th.
So pictures with Santa
or pictures
with Jeremy and Stephanie
which is more magical,
it's,
really.
It's possible you could get a picture with Jeremy, Stephanie, and Santa, one picture.
I don't know.
Can't promise that.
Yeah, Santa, I don't know how Santa feels about that. He doesn't like to share the spotlight.
So say hello to us. And if you live far, far away from Delaware, you just want to be tuning in to our social media channels on that day because we'll be sharing some of our favorite holiday gifts from Cabela's.
Or go to your own store near you. You can go to BassPro.com or Cabela's.com. Both of you, you're going to be able to find stores near you that have all the Santa Wonderland fun and festivities for the year.
If you really love someone, you should get them some cast iron at Cabela's or get them a hammock, or maybe they need a new tent.
Fine and dandy, but I have to say a lot of people in our Facebook group have been talking about hiking gear for their kids. And I have to say, one of the things that I've truly appreciated since really becoming intimately familiar with a lot of the Cabela's products is, here's the thing, kids grow up. So Jeremy and I, we may be willing to spend at a price point that's higher for our own hiking shoes and raincoats and all that stuff. But to be honest, like, I have a hard time spending a ton of money
like
on that stuff.
$100 for a backpack for me, like, I'm cool with that.
Because you're going
like
to use it forever.
Pack, maybe even, I've actually never spent more than $100. But for the kids, I don't want to spend that.
No, because they really do grow. And so what happens is they grow out of gear before they even use it to death, you know? So that's been the best thing about Cabela's for me, is understanding that I can get my kids quality like gear for the outdoors that they're going to use to death throughout our time in the outdoors. And it's still going to be great, but they're going to outgrow it. And I'm not going to be upset because I didn't spend that much. Honestly, they've got bargains.
Well,
so it's a great place to shop.
We're 3 summers into those backpacks.
Yeah.
3 summers of extensive hiking.
Absolutely. And my day pack is going to last me forever, but the boys are going to want something bigger pretty soon. And I'm not going to be upset about that because I didn't spend an arm and a leg on it. So really, that is my favorite thing about partnering with Cabela's is I love getting truly affordable gear that I can recommend. So, because that's a skinflint in me.
Samesies. All right.
Oh, so, you're not a skinflint. Don't even try.
It's true.
Spendthrift. Alert, alert.
All right, listen. The Campground Gourmet has taken over the charts on Amazon.com. We've got a number one bestseller in two categories in cooking right now. And it was number three in grilling. Grilling's a huge, huge cookbook category. Kate's cookbook is ahead of like many famous people. It's ahead of people whose books I have on the shelf.
All of our people, they're all going out and they're buying it. They're excited about it. And honestly, they should be. I really, I've loved working with Kate on this because I think that she's captured to me the art of camp cooking. Because as you all know, I've shared some of my like go-tos. And if you've noticed something, they're kind of some favorite meals that I also cook around the house. And all I've done is kind of said, oh, which of my kids' favorite family meals are easy for me to kind of transfer to a campground environment? And Kate has done that same thing. This is a recipe book for your life. This isn't a recipe book just for an open fire or just for a griddle or a grill. You know, I shared last week mug cakes which were an enormous
I wouldn't know anything about the mug cakes because when I came home, there was nothing left but apple pie filling. And I was so sad and depressed. I had to make myself a Toastite sandwich the burner on the stove. all the kids in the neighborhood were over eating it.
It was confusing. I was making the mug cakes, then a bunch of kids came over, so then I sat on the mug cakes. I was like, I'm not going to let any of the kids know. Then a couple of the kids went home, and there was just enough mug cakes for the kids that were left, and they just demolished them. It was like a really funny mug cake taste testing in our kitchen.
I missed the cuteness of the scene, and I also missed the mug cake.
But that's the thing, is that those mug cakes that I'm going to be like, oh my, you know, that's an RV microwave. And it's like, oh, we're at the campground and it's a rainy night out and we can make mug cakes or whatever. It just, I love that. I love that it's not precious and like only cooking over like hot coals in the camp ring.
Kate hits a sweet spot for you because I feel like she's just fancy enough. Like the recipes all feel special, but like I can make them.
Yeah, and I truly think anybody can, which is why I keep picking recipes that I want you to try. But you're still, let's be real with people, you're still kind of in a stage of cooking where you're producing edible, yummy food. It's kind of shocking.
Just using the word edible sounds like...
Jeremy, you used to produce... Remember when you tried to make grilled cheeses and like we couldn't eat the grilled cheeses? Do you remember those days?
They were
like
too,
we'd be like, oh my gosh.
Too much butter.
Who can ruin a grilled cheese? Jeremy can. And like now, the other night, you made pork chops that were like delicious. But you're still in that stage where I think a recipe is overwhelming to you. You're kind of like, if it's not something familiar, like you'd rather like watch somebody do something on YouTube that you can easily recreate. But the recipe thing
I think three ingredients tops.
Right. You're like, you want a spice rub and meat.
I want a steak and salt and pepper and olive oil. Those four things, I'm down.
So I keep trying to tempt you to make me certain things out of the cookbook, like that are in your wheelhouse that you're enjoying. And so I picked this week. Are you ready for this one?
Can you also confess I've been making awesome steaks?
Yeah. Well, that's why this week I picked the Colombian coffee grilled New York strip steak.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
I want you to try this, okay? Because this is pretty cool. So it's four New York strip steaks is what the recipe is for. But of course, make more, make less, it doesn't matter. That's the point, right? So then you make the marinade. And the marinade is olive oil, soy sauce, Worcestershire, brown sugar, whole grain mustard, garlic, red chili flake, okay? And Colombian Supremo coffee espresso ground. Get the espresso ground it, okay? Because that's be nice and fine, not crunchy.
I can do that. I mean, okay. We have a burr grinder. I can easily adjust for that.
You're going to whisk together all those ingredients. You're going to put it in a zip-top bag and put your steaks in it, right? Like I've taught you. I have taught you how to do that.
You put that marinade in, right?
You put it in the zip-top bag, and then you kind of like mush it around in the bag. And then she says you can put it in the fridge for up to four hours or up to overnight. So this is nice because sometimes you struggle with the timing, with getting home from work, wanting to grill something.
Yeah, I want to grill something delicious, but then you only get to marinate it for half an hour.
Make this marinade the night before.
That would work.
Put it in the refrigerator, and then they're ready when you come home from work to do it, okay? You're going to do your chimney, you know, of coals, Like, or you don't even need
well,
that
I've
on your acorn.
I've been using the luft lighter.
Right. So you'll use your luft lighter. You'll get your acorn all set up. You know, in the recipe, Kate just says, you know, get your coals hot, put them in your grill, blah, 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 blah.
I'll tell you, that slow cooker makes a mean steak.
I mean,
because you can also get it ripping hot for a steak.
Right. So then you're going to pat dry after you remove them from the marinade. You're going to let them come to room temp for 20 to 30 minutes, technique that you've been learning and using. Like, you're getting a handle on all of that. And then you're going to cook the steaks for 4 minutes on either side for medium rare. We're going to do it longer because we all like medium.
I go five.
Yeah.
Typically.
And the kids like it a little more well done, and that's okay. And then we're going to let it rest for 6 minutes and we're going to serve.
Let's do
Can you do it?
This weekend.
Okay. I got the steaks because I went to Costco.
Oh, you sent me the picture of the steaks today.
I did. I got you a bunch of steaks today. And I wrapped them all up and some are in the freezer. But
done.
Yeah.
This weekend.
Yeah.
Like post-Thanksgiving.
I think that'll be fun. Yeah. Definitely we'll be turkeyed out and we'll be ready.
So
for some
Saturday
steaks.
We'll do it.
Okay, so that's your next teaser recipe from The Campground Gourmet.
And it's up on the blog. It's up on the blog.
Yep, it goes up on the blog. And then we hope that all these recipes look so much fun and wonderful and simple and delicious. And you go on over to Amazon and you buy your own copy for $4.99.
Now, we're going to get a big contest going
here. Yes.
Because the way Amazon works, you need reviews. So all of you that have been buying the book, we want you to leave a review, and we are going to build a contest around this. So
and let me tell you something. I feel confident that any review would be a good review
if
you make the recipes
in
this book. Like, this isn't like, oh, well, people like it. Like, I have made so many recipes in this book, and they're just all fantastic.
But the way Amazon works, they want to see a lot of reviews to feature the book prominently. And we got a number one bestseller. We want to keep it there. So, Stephanie, break down this contest for us, because we're going to give away a $100 Cabela's gift card.
We are. It's fun.
And we're going to pick a winner, like, January 1st.
January 1st, yeah.
So how does everyone who bought, you have to have bought the book.
You have to have bought the book, because you have to be a verified Amazon purchaser in order for your review to count, really, when somebody's reviewing. Yeah.
When you do drop the review, it'll say by a verified purchaser.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
If you write a review for Kate's cookbook and you are a verified purchaser, you're going to drop us an email.
Yep.
You're going to say, hey, I left a review. And I know some people have crazy names for those.
Right.
Things.
So we don't know who you are.
I left a review under this name. Count me in. I want to win the $100 Cabela's gift card.
Yep.
And you'll be in it.
Exactly.
And you'll be in it. And like, you've got a good chance of winning this $100 Cabela's
gift
card.
Because I mean, millions of people are not going to enter this. Let's face it.
Yeah. It's not going to be millions.
Thousands.
It might be 1,000.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, honestly, maybe we'll get 200 reviews. You have a 1 in 200 chance of winning a $100 Cabela's gift card.
That's a good gift card.
That's a healthy gift card.
We're happy
with
that.
You can buy stuff with that.
Yeah.
You could get a hammock.
Mm-hmm.
You could get
a cast iron
skillet, and then you'd have money to, like, go buy candy in the Cabela's candy
shop. A lot of things. Okay. So, listen, but here's my thing. Any review left in November is going to be worth 2 entries.
Get out.
Yeah,
you
because
didn't
we
tell
have
me.
Because we have all these people that are pre-ordered, and I appreciate that they did the pre-order. They're going to get this in their mailbox. They're going to get it on their Kindle right away.
The book is coming today, like the day this podcast comes out, right?
So any of those people that, you know, that pre-ordered it, make a recipe and leave us a review. If you leave us a review within the month of November, you're going to get
entries.
2 entries.
That's crazy, and I love
it. That's fun, right?
That's totally fun. But let me tell you this. You might not get around to making a recipe, but you can flip through the pages and write us a review for this book.
Right.
You can.
You can say, I'm looking forward to.
Her pictures are beautiful. The recipes are simple. The pagination and design is gorgeous. Even if you get to flip through it and drop the review, you're doing a solid for RVFTA and for Kate Dunbar and for this awesome cookbook that we want to see stay on top.
Absolutely. I think that Kate deserves it. She's given so much value to the RVFTA community, and we just appreciate it so much and everything that she's done.
Has Kate ever said no to coming onto our podcast?
No.
No, she hasn't.
I mean, and honestly, anybody leaves a question in our Facebook group, she's the first one to answer it. I know people email her all the time with questions, and she emails them back. She really is somebody who is all in on life, and that's why we love Kate.
If Kate doesn't answer a question within an hour on like our Facebook
group, we check in on her.
She'll email me. She'll be like, Jeremy, I'm going to answer that question. I'll get to that in 5 minutes. I just couldn't get to it right away.
Yeah.
Kate's all in. Kate has helped all of us become better campground gourmets, better campground cooks, better cooks in general. So let's do her a solid. If you bought the book, go and leave her a review. It would mean the world to all of us.
Absolutely. All right. Now, another thing that means the world to us is that Mark and Julie Bennett from RV Love are on the podcast this week. You know what? On a topic that I really think that a lot of people people will appreciate a bare bones, basic, easy entry level, you know.
And look, we've done dry camping. Like, we've done state parks where there were no hookups. We've done some overnights at Walmart or yes. Cabela's, but we're not full on boondockers. Mm-hmm. And part of that's like, we're in New Jersey. There's not as many options for it, frankly. But we know there's lots of interest in boondocking among our audience. And Mark and Julie have just published their brand new book, Living the RV Life, Your Ultimate Guide to Life on the Road. It's in my hand right now. It's a beautiful book. And these guys have done great content on boondocking, both on their YouTube channel and on their website. So you're going to want to listen to these guys because they really do keep it fairly simple.
And they're accessible.
And
they're
we have solar. I love our solar, but they boondock without solar. Mm-hmm. They have a generator and they go boondocking. So if you want to get boondocking and not overcomplicate it, you want to listen to this interview. It's going to help you get out there and enjoy some really terrific wild spaces and places.
All right, stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are incredibly excited to have Mark and Julie Bennett, the creators of RVLove.com and the authors of the brand spanking new book, Living the RV Life, Your Ultimate Guide to Life on the Road. These guys are on our show specifically today to talk about boondocking and give us all kinds of great boondocking tips. But before we dive into that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
From rugged and rustic to comfy and cozy, the agile and reliable 2018 J-Sport camping trailer makes getting away your way a breeze. With 5 lifetime warranties, including the lifter system, bed platforms, floor, roof, and frame, the J-Sport is a camping trailer you can count on. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun. Welcome to the show, Julie and Mark.
Hi,
welcome.
Thank you.
We're excited to be here.
We're excited to have you. We've been enjoying following your adventures, and I have your brand new book.
It's so beautiful.
Right in front of me. It's in my hands right now. And this, I have to just say, everybody needs to go out and buy a copy of Living the RV Life, Your Ultimate Guide to Life on the Road. It is packed with great information about all aspects of RV travel, and it's also packed with really lovely pictures. So
you must be exhausted from writing this book.
It was quite the process, but we're very happy with how it's turned out, for sure.
We're excited that you got an early copy because it doesn't actually officially launch until Tuesday, the 20th of November, just 2 days before Thanksgiving. So you guys got one hot off the press.
Yeah, one of the benefits of what we do, for sure. Now, before we talk about all of the details about what are in that book, we want to go back to the beginning, and maybe not necessarily when, you know, Julie and Mark were first born, but maybe at least before you started RVing. Like, tell us a little bit about your story.
Where did the love start?
Well, as you may gather, I am not American. I'm actually Australian born, but I'm actually celebrating 10 years living in the United States at the end of this month. So almost 10 years living in the US. Haven't shaken off the accent yet, but I moved here single and I was living in Boulder, Colorado, and Mark was just living about 20 minutes up the road. We met on the dating website eHarmony and met and married in 2010, and then bought a town home together and built that, and not built it, but, you know, nested and decorated it and made our own.
Made it our own. And then we did that for a little bit. And then I've always wanted to work remotely. I finally landed a job that I could do remotely. And then 6 months into that job, we started thinking, well, started redefining the definition of home. And that's when we started thinking about traveling full time with an RV. And, you know, 8 months after we made that decision, we actually hit the road. We sold the townhome, bought the RV, and literally drove off into the sunset. And that was over 4.5 years ago. We absolutely loved the lifestyle.
Now, we've talked to a lot of full-timers on the podcast over the years. Tell us a little bit more about the decision process. Were you both on board right away? Was one person convincing the other? I'm always interested in that marital dynamic when people make that really big life decision.
I think that's a good question, Jeremy, because we do find that we meet a lot of couples where one is more on board than the other, and some feel like that they're compromising in some way to help the other one achieve their dreams. But for us, I think we were more aligned. As an Australian, we all love to travel, I think, because we're so far from everyone else in the rest of the world. Traveling's kind of always been in my blood. Mark hadn't been so much.
I traveled a fair bit for work, but, you know, work travel, it's just you show up, you go to the conference, you go to the meetings, you stay in your hotel, you might drive around a little bit in the area, but then you go back. But I did do a little bit of RVing when I was young with the family, doing some rock hunting. But, you know, when Julie and I, when we first had the idea, hey, well, let's start traveling with an RV, we were both on board pretty quick, which is a real benefit, because we definitely see some couples that one is much more excited than the other.
So you decided to transition into full-time RV lifestyle, and you said that you had a remote job that you could work. So where did the actual RV love content start happening? Were you just naturally, you know, creating content while you were on the road, and then you just kind of grew that brand more and more? How did that come about?
Yeah, it was very organic, Stephanie. When we decided to hit the road, Mark had a job, as he said, that he could do remotely. He was working from home, and I had actually, fortunately, some people may not see it this way, but fortunately been laid off from a job that I had in Boulder, and I'd been looking for another job, and the idea of a commute and all of that was just not appealing. So Mark said, look, you used to have your own business in Australia. Why don't we just live on my salary? And we're fortunate we were able to do that. And you just go and be creative and have fun with it. And I know you love writing. I know you want to learn how to make videos and you want to tell stories about our travel and adventure. So go do that and have fun with it. And so there was never any, we're going to build RV Love and it's going to be a business and we're going to do a book. And it was never that. It was just, it was what felt very natural and organic and fun for us. And we wanted to have fun with it. And so Mark was doing this after hours in his off time helping with the videos and the blog posts. And so it was very much a labor of love. I'd always been in kind of writing and communications. I actually used to promote authors in a previous life in Australia. So I was always a book lover and always loved writing and communicating and telling stories. So it was just a lot of fun. And then it just grew to a point very organically. So it was about 3 years in and Mark was working full time still at his job, but he'd been promoted. So it was getting a lot more stressful and there were a lot more demands on him. And it was just taking a real toll on his health and well-being and our happiness, to be honest. And RV Love was growing very organically, but to a level that it was really hard for me to keep doing just on my own, and it needed more and more time from him. And that was hard because he was working so hard at his job. So we reached a turning point where it's like, okay, we either have to take this leap and focus on RV Love full time or you know, make drop some change. Yeah, I don't know,
Julie, we literally had the same exact conversation at one point with what had started out as this hobby and creative endeavor, where I said to Jeremy, this either has to become a real business or I quit.
It's scary to do that when you have a job and a regular income and health benefits, as Mark had with his employer. But you know, at some point you've got to follow your heart and follow your soul and do what makes you happy and just trust. And I think what we'd been doing the previous 3 years, there was obviously a lot of interest and excitement about it. So we thought, well, let's just do that and see what happens.
So tell us about all the different aspects of RV Love. Where can people find you? Where are you creating great content
and
for
people?
And
what kind of content are you creating for them?
Well, we have a blog at our website, rvlove.com. We also have a YouTube channel, which is RV Love TV. And that's really where our growth happened a lot, was on YouTube after about 6 months in. And that just exploded. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and we're just starting to get into Pinterest some more now, actually. It's been something we've been wanting to do. And so we're kind of all over the place, even in our village. For anyone that may be in our village, we're there as well. So you'll find us everywhere.
How did you guys do in finding community on the road and making meaningful relationships? I know the answer, but I want our audience to hear the answer.
Well, and that's a really interesting aspect for it. You know, I'm an introvert, and so I actually really value my downtime and quiet time. But Julie's a high extrovert, so she really values having that connection. And that's why we were predominantly staying time in campgrounds, because we liked that social interaction. And then when we had our YouTube channel and our public presence, it started making it even easier to meet up with people. And then we also do use tools like our village to see who's in a campground in an area and arrange meetups. But one of the most exciting things about this lifestyle is that we actually have a far more social environment and more community feel than we did even when we lived in Stick and Brick, because there's just this common support in common ground that you have with other RVers that really makes you become fast friends, it seems.
Now, you guys have covered a lot of ground. I mean, it's not like you are staying in one place for any too long of a time, correct? I mean, you have been just about everywhere.
We have traveled to all 50 states, and we did the first 48 states, the lower 48, in the first 3.5 years on the road, and then we flew to Hawaii. Can't take your RV to Hawaii. And RVing's not very big in Hawaii. That's what we wanted to do. And I did some research, and it's really not a big thing there. And then we cruised to Alaska, actually. We were in Vancouver, and we got a last-minute cheap cruise to Alaska, which was awesome. So all 50 states. And, yeah, we travel and stay in all kinds of places. We stay in campgrounds, and we do dry camping, or also called boondocking, without hookups. We stay in Walmart parking lots on a cross-country drive. So we really mix it up.
Now, tell us about the book, all right? Tell us a little bit about how this project started, and then just give people an idea of what kind of information and what kind of stories they're going to find in the book.
Well, we started off, we wanted to write a book for a long time. When I first left my job, we built an online school to help people learn how to RV. And then we wanted to write a book in 2018, thinking originally we were going to self-publish it. But then we were reached out to, a major publisher reached out to us in early 2018 and looked at our content and just felt that we would be a really great source to be able to write a book about teaching people how to successfully hit the road and at least explain what it's all about. And so we dove right into it. They actually gave us a really short timeline to write that book, but we delivered on it. And it's really an amazing book that we feel is the book that we would have loved to have when we hit the road, because it really guides people through a lot of the decision-making and a lot of the big things that will impact their success when they hit the road.
And not just practical, but emotional too, right? I see in the book, like you really do try to talk about all of the aspects of making this kind of shift in your lifestyle.
Absolutely, because I think so often people are focused on the logistics of transitioning to the RV life. So what kind of RV they're going to buy, how are they going to get their mail, how about affording it, how they're going to work from the road, get connectivity, all of those things. But a lot of people don't necessarily think about or give value to the whole challenges that they may face emotionally. It's a really big life change, especially if you're planning on doing it full time. You're leaving your friends and family and your community behind. If some people have retired from a job, and that's a big transition. Being with your significant other in a small space 24/7 when you may have been used to going off separately to jobs and that kind of a thing. And so we usually find it does take people quite a while to be able to emotionally adjust. It's not like you flick the on switch and put the RV in a drive and off you go and everything's great. It's almost everyone we've met has had some kind of emotional adjustment, and it's different for everyone how long it takes or how deeply it affects them. It's a very personal thing, and you don't know how you're going to react until you're actually going through it. But I think by talking through that and giving some tools to people to help them be able to navigate that and communicate about that and understand in advance what they may be experiencing when it does come up, then it's a lot easier feeling like, oh, I'm not alone. There's not something wrong with me. I should be having the best time of my life, but I'm crying or I'm missing my friends or my kids or whatever. So it just really helps give people a lot of understanding around that and some tools on how to help them navigate through that.
All right. I just have to say again, it is a beautiful book. It is a really great price right now if you want to go online and check it out. It's Living the RV Life, Your Ultimate Guide to Life on the Road by Mark and Julie Bennett from RVLove.com. And we're going to come back in a second, and they're going to dive into one of their many areas of expertise, and they're going to give us some really incredible tips for boondocking. So stay tuned. Yeah. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are incredibly excited to be back here with the lovely Mark and Julie Bennett from RVLove.com. They are the authors of the brand new book, Living the RV Life, Your Ultimate Guide to Life on the Road. And it is an awesome book. You're going to want to go buy a copy of this book. We will put links to it in our show notes. And they are going to give us some awesome tips to get started on boondocking. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford, who make some cool products for boondocking.
There you go. If you are planning on camping anywhere without sewer hookups this year, and maybe that may be in a boondocking situation, one of the best ways that you can support yourself is by snagging a Smarttote 2 LX, which is going to allow you to easily empty that gray water during your stay. So you can keep showering, you can keep doing the dishes, you know, you don't have to take Navy showers. The auto stop level gauge prevents messy overfilling, and the handle hooks onto a trailer hitch so you can easily tow it up to a dump station. It comes in 18, 27, or 35-gallon models. You can visit Thetford.com for more information or follow the links in the show notes. Welcome back to the show, Mark and Julie.
Hello.
Hi. So excited to keep staying on this. This is a great show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. But okay,
it's really
so
fun.
I wanted very specifically to have you guys on to talk about boondocking because, you know, a while ago I saw some of your content on the topic. I think I saw a YouTube video that you put out about it. And the thing that I loved was you were giving such easy, practical tips for the everyday RVer. You weren't saying, hey, go install $3,000 worth of solar on your camper, or go buy this, or go outfit
it's
your...
boondocking for everyone.
Right. It was just very practical, easy, actionable tips. So that's why you guys are here for this topic.
Well, thank you. It's great.
That was something really important to us because, you know, we saw that same message getting sent out that you have to have giant solar arrays and huge battery banks to be able to have any kind of solar boondock, to have any kind of boondocking opportunity at all. But, you know, a lot of people, it's not even for them. And so to invest really heavily up front might not be the best decision. So we wanted to be able to create content to let people get out there, try it out their boondocking legs, as you will, to be able to get a feel for if they like it at all.
We actually have met people that have been watching a lot of other YouTubers and reading blogs that, and a lot, it seems the feedback we've been getting is a lot of them do boondocking more than staying in campgrounds. And we've met people that have gone and said, well, we have to install all this and spent $7,000 on a setup, and then went out and found out we don't actually like boondocking. We prefer staying in campgrounds with all of these camp with hookups, with electric and water and hot tubs and swimming pools. They preferred that. Not only that, they realized that RV didn't work for them. So within 7 months, they sold the RV. So they completely lost their shirt on the whole thing with all of that equipment and on the RV because they didn't end up liking boondocking. So we always say, go and see if you like it first without spending all that money. And then if you like it and you think you're going to do it and you think you're going to keep that RV for a while, then you can start looking at making some additions. But we'd like to start with the basics.
Well, let's get real basic here then. Let's, for our listeners that don't even own an RV yet and are just dreaming about this lifestyle, let's define boondocking for them. So how would you actually define boondocking as opposed to just, say, dry camping? Stephanie and I dry camp a lot. We don't necessarily boondock a lot. So how do you define the term?
Yeah, the terms get interspersed a lot. You know, the dry camping is just you don't have an actual water hookup, you know, the way I perceive it, whereas boondocking, you're actually really making the most of the tank capacities and battery and off-grid capabilities of an RV, and you stay in wide open spaces like on BLM or Bureau of Land Management properties or other
national forests
mm-hmm. that are just completely away from it all, out in the middle of nowhere, out in the boonies, which is where I think the term boondocking originally came from.
Right. So like Stephanie and I do state parks and national parks where we reserve a site and there's no hookups. So we refer to that as dry camping. We don't have hookups. You're talking mm-hmm. about, you're not on a campground at all when you're boondocking. Like you said, you're on BLM land or you're out in the middle of nowhere and you've got to figure out how to get there and how to park it and
so
all of those things.
So there might not even be, there won't even be like a designated campsite spot for you when you are officially boondocking, right?
Right. Yeah. When we consider boondocking, we just going to be out in the middle of nowhere and just find a nice, reasonably level spot and, you know, park it in a space that's legal. I mean, obviously you want to check and make sure that the area is one that is approved for people to do overnighting, but there's a lot of resources available for that. And we just love getting out there and having the tranquility and the quiet and just joy and nature and being connected with it. It's a really nice way to camp. And most any RV is going to have freshwater tanks and wastewater tanks to be able to, if you're being resourceful in managing your water, you can last for quite a while. In fact, we've gone, you know, 2 weeks at a time with a 70-gallon water tank, and it seems totally reasonable.
So how do you find good boondocking spots?
Well, there are some great resources out there. A few of our favorites are websites like acampendium.com. There are some fantastic ebooks by Marianne Edwards, who also runs Boondockers Welcome. You may have heard of them. They're called the Frugal Shunpiking Guides, and they are a fantastic resource because they give a lot of detail on boondocking spots and accessibility. And I think that's something that a lot of people really need to understand is before you go taking your RV into any free land to go and park on, you probably want to go and scope it out first to make sure you know you can get in and out so you don't get stuck. Because if you do need to call roadside assistance or something, they may not necessarily be willing to come out and get you where you're stuck. So, you know, I think that's really important. There is some apps out there as well. Bureau of Land Management is another website, BLM.gov. So you think anyone that does a search for a boondocking resources, you'd come up with a ton. We've got some listed in the book as well, but there are a few.
And don't think that just because you're out away from campgrounds and stuff, you won't have any cell coverage or anything. Because remember, we work full time from the road, and we've actually had far better coverage in some of the areas we go boondocking with nobody in sight than we have in actual national parks and other campgrounds that we've been in.
No competition out there. Everybody's not trying to use
on the tower.
Not everybody's using that same tower there. All right. So if you find a great spot to boondock, let's go back to like the beginning of the preparation stage. What are some of the things you guys do for pre-planning food and meals to just kind of conserve those resources, because you're not going to be plugged into an electric source. You're not going to be plugged into a water source.
Yeah, and one of the first things that we like to plan towards is that when we know we're going to go boondocking, we try to have the night before we head out in a campground, so that with a free flowing water hookup, so that we can pre-plan our meals. We actually cook and freeze a number of meals, and we also wash all of our vegetables and just make the most of that electric and water power the night before, and fill up our water tanks when we're in the area. Instead of trying to transport the water long distances, we like to have the campground in a reasonably close area to where we plan on boondocking. But we really like pre-planning the meals and then freezing them so that they're really easy to prepare, and you don't have to have as many dishes in meal prep, because and it also keeps your trash down to a minimum and your water use to a minimum.
I love that idea of going to a place, staying at a campground near there, you know, overnight, almost as like a little launching pad, and then going and boondocking. I think that that makes it feel very accessible and almost like a little less stressful and overwhelming.
Definitely. The first time we went boondocking, we were about 8 months in, and it was stressful. We were nervous. We didn't know what to expect. And we went to a place down in Yuma, and this is where we actually put together these tips, is preparing for that trip, because we didn't quite know what to expect. And so we really planned for it. And I think a big part of being successful in boondocking, and when I say successful, I mean that you have a great experience. You don't get stuck. You don't run out of water. You don't fill up your tanks, you know, to an uncomfortable level, is the pre-planning and the prep. And so by, you know, really having all of that organized ahead of time, you can just relax and enjoy yourselves and enjoy the views and the hiking when you're there. But, you know, we have an RV that has propane that we use for cooking. So that really helps, not using electrical. We avoid using the microwave or the convection oven because that uses power. And just so everyone knows too on the call, we're in our second RV now, but our very first RV, we had no solar. So this was all just using the onboard capacities that the RV came from the manufacturer. And so that's why we didn't invest in solar for that first, you know, 4 years on the road. But by cooking with propane and gas, using your barbecue, and barbecuing food is a great way to do it as well. And with water, we obviously fill up our fresh water tank, but we fill and take separate jugs of drinking water as well. So we'll go to the supermarket and buy a few of those big, you know, 3 and 5 gallon water jugs that we will use for drinking water. And things like washing the dishes. We'll wash the dishes in a bucket in the sink, and so that way we're not using as much water, and then we've got the water in a bucket and we can go and take that water and put that down the toilet and use that to flush the toilet instead of using fresh water to flush the toilet.
Oh, that's tricky.
That's great.
Oh, that's tricky.
That's totally great. Now, let's continue to talk about showers and potty time, if you don't mind. Any other tips for, you know, dealing with conserving water in the bathroom?
Well, you know, when you started off the call, you did mention a Navy shower. Not everyone's, just yeah. For those who are not familiar with them, Navy showers are one where you would get into the shower, you get a little bit of wet on, and then you turn that water back off, you lather up. While the water's off, you turn the water back on to rinse that off and then turn it right back off again. So it uses very little bit of water. We also have a bucket of water in there too that we can catch some of that water. Because what we find is that when we travel and we boondock, the gray tank, the water that comes from the sink and the showers is usually the one that limits most people's off-grid camping. That's usually the one that fills up first. Now, I'd caution getting too carried away with trying to put all the water down into the toilet, because the last thing you want is that one to fill up and when you still had gray tank. So there is a little bit of experimentation, but we generally find in almost every person we've ever talked to, the gray water out of their sink and showers is what fills up first. And so we do try to be mindful of not letting that fill up quick.
And you talked about the toilet tips. I mean, one of the things that we do is, you know, let the yellow mellow, leave the number ones there and don't flush. I mean, there's no need to do that. And then, you know, just really conserve the number of flushes that you do on the toilet, as long as you don't mind this with your significant.
Well, especially if you have a toilet type that is one that uses a lot of water.
Right.
Some toilets for RVs really don't use much water at all when they flush, and so then it's not such a big deal. But if you have a macerating toilet or a vacuum flush or something,
they use a lot more.
A lot more important.
I have to say, I just keep thinking of how much more difficult this could be for, like, Stephanie and I, because we have 3 kids. And they, you know, like, they will flush the toilet for like 25 seconds. Because when we're at a campground with full hookups, like, I tell them, give it a good long flush, right? Like, you want water flowing through the system. But on a boondocking site, not so much.
But that's why I love this idea. Honestly, that's really helpful, I think, to think about ways that you can transfer your own gray water use and use it in the way that you would for your black tank. Mm. Because, I mean, we rarely fill up. You're right. We rarely fill up our black tank. It's always our gray tank. That's the struggle.
All right. So in your book, you guys have some pictures of your RV nestled into some just dreamy locations. So you talked, generally speaking, about how to find boondocking spots. But let's talk about actually picking how you park your rig. I loved some of your tips on this. So once you pull into the BLM land and you have a general sense of where you're boondocking, how do you specifically park the rig?
No, that's a great point, because it is something that's really important to maximize the benefit of it. And one of the things that I'd recommend is that when you scope out a spot and you find a really nice area, that you be mindful of the surrounding shrubbery and maybe little highs and lows in the land, because those can create natural borders around your campsite that make you feel more nestled in and homey, for one. But I also like to keep track and keep mindful of the weather, because if the weather temperatures are a little bit cooler, I like to get a lot of the windows of the RV facing where the sun is going to be, so I can get more of that solar heat gain to warm the coach on cooler weather. And on the inverse of that, if I'm camping somewhere where it's really hot, I'm going to try and get more of my windows to face on the north side or the side that's getting more shade, so that I don't capture as much solar heat gain during the day.
These are great. These are great tips, because you're not really going to be using the air conditioner too much. Now, if you have a generator, you can. Any other tips in that department about dealing with colder weather or hotter weather?
Well, if you have window covers for the outside of your RV, those are huge for keeping the heat down. And then, you know, at nighttime, if you've got cool, almost always your temperatures at night are going to cool off quite a bit. And it's a really great opportunity to open up all your windows and let that cool, natural, open field air come into your RV. And that's really a nice way to do that. But also wanted to make one more comment on the boondocking is that when you can, sometimes you're going to be in areas where they're very popular boondocking areas, and just be mindful and respectful of distance from other people, because most people that are out there are trying to get out and enjoy some space. And especially if you're going to be running your generator a lot, you don't want to be intruding on a lot of other people's, you know, other people's opportunity to get out and enjoy nature.
Good etiquette tip. And Jeremy mentioned a generator and you mentioned a generator in the last minute. So let's dive into talk on generators. First of all, do you guys use one? And why don't you share just some of the parameters of that, how it helps you, you know, in your boondocking experience with our listeners?
Yeah, that's a great point, because we do use a generator. We did in our first motorhome, and we do in our current motorhome, not nearly as much in our current one because we do have solar and a larger battery bank in the new one. But we generally, if you're really being conservative with your power, you can usually get away with running the generator just a couple hours in the morning, or maybe a little bit at night, just to get it topped up before the nighttime. But also it'll depend a lot on the type of generator you use. Our first motorhome had a large 7,000 watt gas powered generator that was very powerful and could make the RV perform just like it was hooked up to full electrical hookup at a campground, but it was very thirsty. That generator would burn 3/4 to 1 full gallon of fuel per hour. And that's something to keep in track of, because you know, a lot of people think of boondocking as something that's for free, but if you're going to be running your generator for 8 hours a day at a gallon an hour, you're going to start spending more than you would spending time in an actual campground.
You're going to hit Hilton prices at a certain
point.
But if you have one of those little, you know, Honda or Yamaha, little transportable 1,000 watt generators that are just trying to trickle charge your small use appliances and keep your batteries charged up, you can run a whole day on 1 gallon of fuel on that. And similarly with a diesel generator, so you can get a lot of power with not a lot of fuel out of a diesel generator.
Great tips. Let's talk about safety now. And I know that, you know, particularly for solo campers, they might really think about safety, but anybody boondocking needs to think about safety. So what are some of your tips for staying safe while boondocking?
Well, one of the things that we do whenever we get to a boondocking location is, you know, just as a safety precaution, we will send our location details with our GPS coordinates to a family member or a friend, so someone always knows where we are. In fact, we do that anytime we check into a campground. Mark will always call or text his mom and let her know, but especially so when we're boondocking, because we really are in the middle of nowhere sometimes. And so that's just a really good tip for anybody. You don't really want to be out there with nobody knowing where you are. We've never encountered any safety risks or issues out boondocking?
No, we really haven't. I'm not with wildlife or with people. And I think, you know, a lot of people do get concerned that they don't have the security of having other people around, but it's actually a benefit a lot of the time, because, you know, most people that are going to be criminal or something would going to be where there are people, where there are a lot more targets. They're not usually going to go out into the middle of nowhere to try and find a target, I would imagine. But also with wildlife, one caution is to not leave a lot of food out or to attract any wildlife, and especially if you're in bear country, you might want to make a practice of getting rid of your trash and taking it to town, or keeping it in locked away, things that don't allow a lot of scent out. So
brilliant insights into the criminal mind. Like, Let's go rob somebody on BLM land. You're going to be a pretty bad thief if that's the strategy, I suppose.
Yeah, it's not the best thief, because as former law enforcement, I guess I tend to think that way.
Well, good for you. Now, I have to ask, when you pull up into an area for boondocking, are you guys happier if you see no one else there, or are you kind of happier if there are a few people around for a little bit of socializing and meeting people, etc.?
I think it depends on where we are, Jeremy. So, for example, if we're boondocking in Quartzsite, Arizona, which many people listening would know that's a very, very popular location for RVers wanting to boondock, and it's a fantastic place to go if it's your first time because it's really set up well with the amenities and it's a lot of places to park. There we like having some people around, but not too close. You know, we don't mind seeing other people around because that can be great for social interaction. We were in Quartzsite in January with the Escapers Group, a big RV rally, and that was really fun to have a lot of people around. But, you know, there was at one point we needed to get a little more sleep than some others wanted, so we moved a little further down to a quieter area. So it kind of depends on what we're there for. Are we there to socialize or are we there for quiet time and to get some work done? But when we're in Sedona, like if you look at the cover of our book, that photograph is a great panoramic shot that Mark took with our drone, actually. You'll see there's not another rig around. And that's how we like it when we're in Sedona, because that's on national forest land and there is not another RV in sight. We've got these multi-million dollar views outside of our window, and that is our preference in Sedona. It's not having not having anyone else around. So it really just depends where we are. I think in one sense, I think maybe what you're asking is when you're boondocking, does it give you a little bit more sense of comfort to have some other RVers around? Like when we were camping in the Yuma area in Winter Haven was our first boondocking experience. And we stayed very conscious to be away from other people because we had a generator and we didn't want to bother those folks with solar panels because we saw there were a few of those around. But one of those rigs was just a little silver a glint in the distance, and it was just a little bit of peace of mind that okay, there are other people around, so we're not completely alone, but they're far enough away that we still feel that we have our space. And little fun fact is that little silver glint of an RV in the distance, it ended up those people came and introduced themselves to us that afternoon, and it was Chris and Cherie from Technomadia.
Of course it was.
Just popping up
into it makes all the sense in the world.
Now, I live in the middle of nowhere.
I've got one controversial question for you that was not part of your content or blog post on here. I'm going to put you guys on the spot a little bit. So what is the etiquette among boondockers for sharing information about finding these sites? I noticed that Rova Magazine had an article this last month called something like Social Media is Ruining Boondocking. So I'm wondering what your position is.
Not to put too fine of a point on it.
So I'm wondering what your position is as RV content creators about sharing the GPS coordinates of such beautiful locations, such as the one on the cover of your book.
We've never done that.
Well, and there you have it.
We've never shared the GPS coordinates. Now, we don't want to sit and judge anyone else for what they do. We just always do what feels right for us. I don't think we've even used GPS coordinates to find any of our boondocking sites. We found them through knowing general areas or, you know, seeing photos, and we work it out for ourselves. And you know what? That's part of the fun. That's part of the fun of finding a great place. We don't like it to be too prescriptive. And, you know, I do understand the point that Rova is making. I've seen that in other publications and other blog posts and videos too, where people, I don't know, maybe in an effort to get more clicks and views, are sharing all of that and not realizing the impact of that. I think, you know, as content creators, we have a responsibility for what is the impact of the content that we're creating. You know, what are we creating here? And I do think that a lot of these lovely spots that we found could get ruined, yes, by having a whole bunch of people show up. Well, I've got these GPS coordinates in my phone. So I do think it's a concern. As I said, don't like to be judging anyone, but we don't do it because
you guys have a lot of friends in the full-time community. I follow you on social media. It looks like you guys have a lot of good friends, and I imagine you want to keep it that way too, right?
You don't want to get everybody upset.
It's not having them upset. And we also want to be able to not over-publicize spots that we think are special so that we can go there with our friends and have confidence there's going to be at least two or three spaces around.
So that's a little selfish.
When I was a young man, we did not tell people where the best surf breaks were along the New Jersey shore. You were going against your tribe if you did that, and you risked life and limb. So I imagine it's similar. So guys, what is your favorite thing about boondocking over just choosing a typical campground?
Well, I think we really like both. We really like being in campgrounds, and we like boondocking because they are so different. Because there's times that we really want to be around all the people and have the amenities, and then there's times that you know, we might be a bit over socialized, or we really just need some time to disconnect and really focus on ourselves or on trying to catch up on content. And having somewhere that's removed from things really is a great opportunity for that.
Guys, thank you so much for coming on the show and just sharing your story and sharing all of this great boondocking content. Will you promise me right now you'll come back on the show someday?
We'd love to.
He likes to put people in tight spots. You promised. Oh, you promised.
Yeah, no, we love to.
It's so fun to talk to, and we loved being able to share our knowledge with people. And it's a wonderful opportunity. We'd be more than happy to come back and chat.
Where can everyone find you guys out on the world wide webs?
You can find us at rvlove.com, and at the bottom there, you'll find links to all of our social sites, like, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest. And of course, we're on YouTube. It's where a lot of people like to follow our videos. Our Village, as we mentioned, is a free social networking site for RVers. And yeah, sometimes you'll even find us at events and rallies out there. You know, we just came back from Nomad Fest in Texas. We sometimes go to Escapers rallies. We'll be at the R Village rally in Texas. Sorry, not in Texas, in Florida. R Village rally in Florida in late March, early April 2019. So it's pretty easy to find us out there everywhere.
And now you can find Mark and Julie Bennett on bookshelves.
Yes.
Virtual bookshelves and real bookshelves all over the country. So you want to go out, you want to buy a copy of Living the RV Life, Your Ultimate Guide to Life on the Road by Mark and Julie Bennett. I am holding a copy in my hands. It's a beautiful book. It's a great value. And there is loads and loads of content in this book for anybody at any point in your RV journey. And I know Mark and Julie talked a lot about full timing, but Stephanie and I are not full timers. And there is still so much in this book for me. So anybody interested in the lifestyle, this is a comprehensive kind of A to Z walkthrough of where to camp, of how to decide what kind of RV you want. Lots of great content in here. And guys, we wish you the best of luck with this new book.
Absolutely. Mark and Julie, congratulations so much on this book. And also thank you very much for coming on the show. Hopefully one day we'll see you at a great boondocking spot.
That would be great. That.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for having us, guys.
See you soon. Welcome back to the show, everybody, and a huge thank you to Mark and Julie Bennett from RV Love. Weren't they lovely?
Oh, so nice to actually kind of more talk to them for a while. I've seen their content for years now online, and I just always love they're so accessible and friendly, and I love that delivery.
Well, a podcast interview allows you to really connect with people.
Yeah.
Let's face it, following someone on social media.
We like invite them onto our couch.
A little
shout. That's how we are. We're like.
I wish we could have all these people into our studio.
We're very lucky to talk to all these people.
We are, but they were lovely. I hope to have them back on the show one day, and I'll just plug their book one more time because it really is like a really nice book. Living the RV Life, Your Ultimate Guide to Life on the Road, Mark and Julie Bennett. A lot of stuff about full-timing and selling the house and hitting the road, but also a ton of content if you're not even considering full-timing. It's like a really comprehensive book about RV life, and I would recommend you take a look at it.
Now, speaking of comprehensive, we've got Casita Dean over on Campground of the Week.
Casita Dean, his Campground of the Week notes, I want to frame them. I want to frame them. And like hang them up on the wall.
Yeah. Well, we don't have enough space for that.
Well,
because
he's
comprehensive.
He's a PhD.
Yeah.
He's not like Casita Dean. He's PhD.
Yeah. He approaches his campground reviews very seriously and puts in his full, you know, research efforts and everything. So you are getting a complete review. And he's back. We haven't talked to him since the summer. So it was really nice. He's been busy. But he was, you know, reviewing another beautiful Alabama state park. And we really appreciate how some of our southern correspondents, our midwestern correspondents have really brought some of these states that are not necessarily, I'm not being mean here. It's just when people think of the best RV destinations, that's not what initially comes to mind.
You're totally right. I mean, they're underrated states for RV travel. I mean, Arkansas, Alabama, These are gorgeous places to be RV owners. And
yeah.
You have mountains, you have the coast in Alabama. You've got a lot of variety of places. You have of great cities, great history, great culture. And, you know, just not everyone's going to those places, but we do have a lot of listeners there. So I'm really appreciative that, like, Carrie Cox has done Arkansas State Parks, mm-hmm. and now Cassita Dean's taken us to Alabama. I love covering this part of the country because I want to go to this part of the country in our RV one day, and I'm going to know where to stay.
All right. Now, everybody, just a reminder, go on over, get your copy of The Campground Gourmet by Kate. When you make one of the recipes, leave us a review. If you leave a review in November, you're going to get two entries into a contest for a $100 Cabela's gift card. The deadline for your review is December 31st at 11:59 p.m., right? The end of the year. We are going to announce the winner as our New Year's Happy New Year post on our social media.
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. We are grateful for every single one of you. Anyone who has ever downloaded our podcast, we really appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for making this a wonderful, friendly camping community. And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.